Hello and welcome to the Double Bonus. I am your host, Finn Draft. I'm here with my co-host, Niall Hoops, as well as three wonderful guests. We're here with Avi at 100 Guaranteed, Gavin at FreeWave 3, and last but certainly not least, we were blessed to get an interview with Mr. Alan Graves of Santa Clara. You can find him at Alan Graves underscore 5. Alan, how are you doing today, man?
I'm doing good. How about you? We're
Dude,
doing great.
awesome, man. Sorry, so excited, bro. This is crazy.
this was an awesome opportunity.
So, Avi and Gav wrote an article about you, I believe, like a month ago, and you were not on many boards, like top 30 or anything like that for the NBA draft. Now all of a sudden, you see all these draft Twitter geeks putting you like top 10, top 15, and like, was that like a weird experience to see, like, all of a sudden, you see your name out there in like droves?
Definitely, it definitely was pretty all of a sudden, I'd say, just out of nowhere, kind of. Definitely coming out of the red shirt year after red shirt, and I just came into this season was like, I just want to, I know I can produce, I know I can produce what I'm doing now, but I just want to go out there and show them like who I am. And then all of a sudden, middle of the season, have those three big games. I feel like the Gonzaga game. And then the three games after that, I think that was the Gonzaga, Pacific, and San Diego, I want to say. But I feel like that's when it started picking up the NBA draft buzz. And then seeing my name on boards is just crazy. Just going to Twitter and being able to look at that is absolutely insane to me because of my journey and how I got here. So it's just crazy.
Well, yeah, man, you deserve it. I mean, you're so productive. Like, as Avi mentioned before the show, like, we just spend hours and hours going through profiles, and yours was definitely like, you do things that no other prospect is able to do. I mean, we'll have another episode out before this where we just talk for like 15 minutes about how insane your overall statistical output is, man. So it's incredible. You deserve all the recognition, man.
Oh yeah, I appreciate it.
I guess we'll start with Javi had a question to start out.
Yeah. Well, first, could you talk about just your journey with basketball? Like you said, you didn't really expect to be here. How did you go from, a kid in Louisiana to, one of the most productive freshmen or underclassmen in general that we've seen?
So my journey in basketball is a long one, but I grew up in a basketball family. So my brother played for LSU and then my sister played for Auburn. So it was kind of a basketball, we had the pedigree of being a basketball family. And, my brother's 8 years older than me and my sister's 3 years older. So I'm the youngest child. And just being able to watch them go through their college journeys and picking apart each of their mistakes and also their accomplishments just helped me in my journey. And them like working out with them, just being able to, I was at LSU practices when I was, in junior high, going through workouts with them, doing their boot camp. So I had a lot of, experiences with basketball and had a lot of, I was privileged enough to be able to do that and experience that at such a young age. And it kind of, instilled in me to now. And then, going to high school, I went to University Lab my freshman year, which is LSU's like, what do you call that? Like their laboratory school. So it's on LSU's campus. And went there and I wasn't able to play varsity. I was ineligible because I moved out of state, or not out of state, but out of district to play for them. So I wasn't able to play varsity. And then I went back to Ponchatoula the next year because it was just too hard on my mom commuting back and forth between Ponchatoula and Baton Rouge. And then just really after that, moving back to Ponchatoula kind of picked it up. I started playing AAU my sophomore year. So I played EYBL my sophomore year. That was my first year playing AAU. And play for Live On, and that kind of put me out there on the EYBL circuit. Got a little buzz going with college coaches, but my recruitment really didn't start until my junior year. Picked up a couple of, like in-state offers, like Northwestern, Southeastern, all those little schools. I picked up Murray State, and then Texas A&M was a big one for me. And then my junior year, we won state, and I was first team all state, all those accomplishments, and that was the first state championship in school history. They never even made it past like the second or third round. So that was amazing just for, because Ponchatoula is like a small town. It's like maybe 35, 40,000 people. But so it's like a everybody knows everybody type of town. And being able to bring that to that community and just bring them together was it was amazing to see. And then doing it again my senior year was just put the cherry on top. And then the first Gatorade player of the year out of Ponchatoula. And just it was it that those days if I it's crazy how much support that the community brought to me and like they've helped me out throughout this journey, you know, of moving away so far from home. And then, you know, that senior year or my junior year summer played UIBL again. And then I got a couple calls, but Coach Ryan and Coach Herb called me from Santa Clara and they kind of they were recruiting me and they called me and I told my brother because my brother is the one who I go to for everything. Like he's my guy. He's like basically my manager, if you want to put it in the terms of like how he helps me out. But he does everything for me. So I called him. I'm like, Santa Clara just called me. He's like, oh, okay. They would be a great fit for you. You know, that WCC, that conference, they'd be a great fit for you and how you want to play. And then, you know, they're in the same conference as Gonzaga, all those teams. So you'd be getting good competition. So I was like, okay. And then they got me on a visit out here. And I was like, first thing I noticed was the weather. I was like, yeah, the weather's nice out here. Coming from Louisiana, it's so hot and humid down there. You don't never know what to expect. So it's like coming down here, it stays the same. And I was like, yeah, I like it out here. And then just they showed me the culture down here. And you know, Coach Ryan and them did a great job of doing that family culture. And that's what kind of got me because I'm a big family guy with I'm so close with my family and they kind of had that down here and I felt that presence down here. So I committed on the visit and then, you know, that took the pressure off that senior year so that I could just go out and hoop and not worry about nothing else, knowing that I'm securing my college decision. And then got out here, red shirted. You know, coming off Gatorade Player of the Year, it was tough. It was tough. Coming off Gatorade Player, all those accomplishments. I came off and then got here expecting to play, went through the summer, did all the workouts, and then, you know, red shirt. It was tough the first couple games. I was like, man, I know I could be out there. But then I had to look at it as an opportunity to grow and you know, just continue to build my game. And it got me to where I am now. I wouldn't change that for the world because, you know, it helped me change my body, get my body right, get my, you know, get adjusted to the college life and college experience. Like just looking out there and being able to watch every game and, you know, it's really like watching film, but in person, every game. And you're just sitting there just analyzing everything. So it was great. And then getting that experience of it. And then coming out this year, you know, start beginning of the year, had to figure out like my position, my role on the team. Cause Chris Tajo had got hurt, so playing the five, it was an adjustment for me. And then, you know, once I figured that out, got my confidence, kind of skyrocketed from there. And we're here today. So that's been my journey. It's been a great one and wouldn't change it for anything.
It's a crazy come up.
Yeah, for sure. Always been a sleeper, always been under the radar. And that's been like the theme of my life, basically. And I love it. I wouldn't change it.
I had a question about the way you learned the game, because you said, your brother and sister both played D1 basketball. Who taught you the game? And did you come up a certain type of way? Because I know with Marshall, he was a 6'4" point guard. He took a lot of threes. He had an 83-point rate at LSU.
He
That is
was
totally different than the
Yeah,
stuff you're doing. So, are you playing more similar to your sister? Is your play style more of a function of just the way you were just brought up, and being a sleeper, you had to like play harder on the defensive end? Like, how did this play style come up?
So as far as who taught me, my dad taught me. He taught all of us. My dad was the one who taught me, my brother, my sister. He taught us everything. And then as time went on, he learned and grew from teaching them and then just learning from my brother everything he had and then my sister, obviously. But my dad is the one who kind of taught us how to play. And then my mom, she was actually the most decorated out of all of us as far as basketball. She was recruited to
Really?
play for LA Tech when Kim Mulkey was there and it was winning championships.
Wow.
And she was supposed to go play for her, but out of high school. And they say she was nice. I never seen any film, so but I know it to be true. And then she got pregnant with my brother, and then so she decided to just stop playing basketball and be a mom. And so kind of basketball, like I said, basketball family. But so my dad taught us, and then as far as my game, I grew up playing like you said, my brother was a point guard, 6'4" shooter. He's that dude there. He's got one of the best shots I've ever seen in my life. And kind of learning from him, our motto in our family was we don't raise big men. So I was always grew up to be a point guard and like ball handle all that. So I played because I hit my growth spurt kind of late, not late, but I was never like the biggest, but I was always like big, but never the I we didn't know I was gonna be 6'9". And kind of growing up, I wasn't the fastest, I wasn't the most athletic, so just kind of being out there playing, like you said, playing hard. That part kind of came from just playing, like trying to figure out my role, always playing with older people. I grew up playing in the park, always playing against grown men, so kind of being out there with them. You're not gonna bully them, you're not gonna do anything like that. So you just gotta figure out how to get steals, how to go rebound, how to do all that. So kind of playing that rough kind of Louisiana basketball kind of got me where I was and how I am today. And then always playing up against my brother, against my sister. My sister was the one who used to bully me. She was the one because we were close in age. My brother was always, he's like 8 years older than me, so he couldn't really do too much. But my sister, we were close in age, so we would always go at it. And she was always bigger than me until I got to high school. And then that's when the one-on-ones got different. But as far as when I was little, though, she used to bully me. She played dirty, elbows, all that. We'd be in there tussling. But I credit my toughness to her as far as how I play. And just being around basketball my whole life, it kind of, you just learn, you pick up stuff so quick. And just being around it and being able to learn and grow in that environment, it was just great.
Absolutely, bro. That's super cool. The family aspects of basketball, like when we do a lot of the research and stuff, people have done studies where at this point in the NBA, 50% of the players, and the number could be higher now, I think the research is from a couple years ago, have a relative that played some level, like super high level of sports, whether it be D1, professional, even in like other sports, football, baseball, so on. And being the youngest, I also think has a correlation to like having super high-end success. Like LaMelo Ball, I guess, is the first one that most people would think of in his interviews, his stories. And I guess he was always, super visible. Like this is the same stuff. It sounds like you guys not like came up the same way, but under the same concept of the youngest one is going to be the one who kind of gets bullied and has to find these other ways to work around the game to find success. So I think that's super cool, and you being another example of that, and a high level one is super interesting, man. That's super cool to hear.
Oh yeah, everybody when like in high school, because everybody knew my family, everybody knew my brother played for LSU, everybody knew, because like I said, the small town, everybody knew everybody, so they all knew that, and they'd all tell me I was the one. They was like, yeah, you're gonna be the one to make it, you're gonna be the one to go do it. And they compared me to LaMelo Ball. I remember one of our so Jacoby Matthews, he was the number one safety in his class, or and the number one player for football in his class. And he used to always tell, he was like, yeah, you're the LaMelo Ball of the family. You're gonna be the one. And that was kind of the theme of, everybody in the family dynamic was like, yeah, Allen's the one, because he's gonna be able to learn and grow from everybody else. And I credit that to them. I can't take any, because they're the ones who got me where I am now. And I wouldn't be here without them.
Absolutely, bro.
What's the like In your opinion, how did you go so underrated despite your AAU and high school production? Like, because when we look back at this, and this was part of like Avi and Gavin's eval of you, like, you've been doing all this since high school. You've just been the most productive person in your class for however long. You mentioned like being Gatorade Player of the Year in a red shirt. Like, that doesn't happen. So, how do you think you went so underrated despite being like so obviously productive and so impactful and winning throughout your career?
I feel like, a lot of that, the rankings in high school, a lot of the even the mock drafts and stuff depends on popularity and how much followers, how many, all of that stuff plays a part in it, and how much the media think what the media thinks of you plays such a huge part in that, and especially in the rankings. And I feel like in high school, I started playing AAU late. I didn't start playing in my sophomore year. And then my first AAU team was UIBL, and starting that late kind of they didn't have the recognition or the exposure that many other players had from such a young age. What do you call that camp? The MSHTV, something like that camp where all
Yeah, the
eighth
super
graders and
goofy
all
one.
that. So all those and like all those little camps to where they get the rankings early, and then you kind of own the rankings. The people know you. I feel like not doing that, and then social media plays a huge part in it. And I didn't. My family, we're big religious. My faith is the biggest part of who I am. I wouldn't. God is the biggest. Like he's the reason I'm here today and able to accomplish all this. And just I didn't have social media until I got to high school, so I didn't have Instagram, social like Snapchat, none of that. I didn't have that till I got to high school, and so I feel like the followers and all of that, I wasn't really too worried about all that. And then so I feel like the exposure part is just the biggest thing, is why I've been under the radar. But I mean, like I said, I wouldn't change it for the world. I mean, it's got me here, and I wouldn't. God has allowed me to do what I've been doing without it, so why do I need it?
What do you think scouts specifically miss? Because obviously there's a big media component to it, but you were, based off what we've been able to find, you were completely unranked. Like, which it's very highly unusual because you were pretty decent in AU. Obviously, you had the high school accolades. Do you think there's something that scouts overrate or underrate within your game, within general players' games? Are there certain indicators of what you were in high school that, could have indicated that you would have been perhaps this productive or just generally productive, because you did outperform your production, your recruit rank so much.
I feel like a lot of it depends on scoring in those recruitments and like in the rankings and all of that. I feel like a lot of it depends on how many points you score each game, rather than the offensive rebounding, the defensive, your steals, your blocks, all of that. And I feel like that was what I pride myself on even today. And since I've been playing basketball, is the offensive rebounds, the defense, like just the hustle plays, the diving on the floor, the steals, everything like that. That's what I kind of pride myself on. And I think scoring has became such a big part of the game, and people look at it as like, if you don't score, then you're not that good. I'd rather take a score than somebody who does the hustle plays. And I just feel like me, I prided myself on doing the hustle plays and making those winning plays, because that's at the end of the day, that's what's gonna cause your team to win. Not the you could score 30 points and still lose, but
Absolutely, yeah.
if you're doing the dirty work, then that's what's gonna really push you over the top.
Absolutely, bro. You kind of spoke to during the redshirt season how you transformed your body. Do you think that there could have been like aesthetic reasons, like if you could kind of walk us through exactly what the transformation was in your frame as you got older, and if you think maybe that had something to do with maybe your under recruitment as well?
Oh yeah. I like to say high school. Before, I feel like, so my senior year I kind of slimmed out, but before that I called myself Chubby Allen. I was Chubby Allen. I was, that was that Louisiana food kicking in,
Yeah,
and
for sure.
all those good meals that I wasn't putting down, the late night snacks, but I feel like my body has transformed so much over the years. And just, from my junior year, I kind of my eye-opening moment was I was with my trainer back home, and he was like, just step on a scale real quick. And I stepped on the scale and it said 245, and I looked down, I said, no way, like that's not,
Yeah.
I don't weigh 245, there's no way. And then that kind of opened my eyes to like, dang, I gotta lock in. And that summer I went from 245 to 210, 215,
Wow.
and then kind of built it back. That senior year, built it back in muscle and got a little slimmer, and had a little six pack, not too much. But then I got here, and the red shirt year, that's all you're doing is lifting weights and running, conditioning, making sure your body's right. And our strength conditioner and strength trainer, she did a great job of catering towards what we needed. So me and the other red shirt, Christian Hammond, our workouts wouldn't we do some of the same workouts, but also some different because we don't need the same things. And I feel like she did a great job of catering to what we needed. And because of that, it got me to the point that I'm at now. And I still continue to make leaps in doing that. I still haven't reached my full potential in that part, and especially in that aspect of it. Still cleaning a few things up, like eating habits, all of that stuff. But continue to work towards it, and I know I could take that extra step. I still got that extra level that I can go to.
Absolutely, bro. If you don't mind, like your playing weight, is there a weight that you're more comfortable at, or maybe kind of the limits to it on a like on a heavier or lighter side, maybe depending on, or really on anything, but would could you see a situation where you would either play heavier or lighter, or where do you prefer right now?
Right now, as far as playing weight, it's 230. I feel comfortable right now at 230. Before it was 225. I felt lighter, slimmer. If I was playing a four, probably around 225. But right now I'm playing a five, so I need that little extra weight. 230. Feel comfortable there as far as still being able to bang with the big man, but also still keeping my guard skills with being able to drive, blow by, and all of that stuff.
Absolutely, bro.
Do you see, like, are there gradients to this weight where if you add 5 pounds, you see like an asymmetric effect in your ability to like hang down in the post? Or is there a certain, like, how does that trade-off work between adding weight and being able to like be physical versus losing weight and, being able to drive like a guard, move more fluidly? How much weight do you have to add to really see like noticeable results in either direction?
I feel like to each his own. Everybody's body's different. So for me, I feel the 5 pounds. Like those five, that extra 5 pounds of weight is heavy for me. I feel it on my body. Coming from being 245, I kind of made that jump down to 210, and then so having that, knowing, I kind of figured out my body during that time, like what helps me lose weight, what helps me gain weight, what eating habits I need to have in order to gain weight, what eating habits I need to have in order to lose it, and kind of figuring out my body in that sense. And then now knowing that those 5 pounds, if I gain those 5 pounds, and I won't, move as quickly, but I will be able to bang and still move like I want to. And then losing those 5 pounds, be able to, I feel it, jumping, all of that stuff feels a lot lighter to me. So I feel like for me, it's that 5 pounds, that 10, 5 to 10 pounds area.
Sure. And how do you see that changing in the future? Do you think you're just going to play around 230 for the foreseeable future, or do you think you're probably going to add a little bit more and lose a little bit more?
I think I want to add a little bit more. I'm kind of leaning more towards going up in weight. Not too much, probably around that 235 area, just because I feel like I can lose a lot more. I still have like my fat, a lot more fat, and change that, turn that into muscle. And even that, I feel like the 230, 235 area would probably be best for me. But depending on how this year ends off, and where I'm at in the NBA, whatever, it's whatever the team thinks, to be honest. If they want me at 230, they want me at 235, they want me at 240, and they say I get an NBA contract, I'll be at 240. So it really does. It depends on them for me.
So back what you were saying about the question before this, how you like pride yourself in the dirty work and loose balls and stuff. I thought that was really interesting to hear from your point of view, because when I first found your profile a couple of months ago, it was before you really broke out. Like, you've been on this insane tear offensively back then. Like, almost your profile, like what stood out to me, the offensive rebounding, the defensive rebounding. Like, I was like, this guy's playing way above his size. Like, this is the profile of like someone who's like a footer almost. This guy's 6'8", like crazy steals and blocks. And I know it's like you don't turn the ball over at all. Is this something you notice when you're playing? Like, you're actively thinking about these things?
I feel like it kind of came naturally to me. I've always been like, even in UIBL, I kind of, rebounding always came naturally to me. So offense rebounding, just putting myself in positions to get the offense rebound. And then having my older brother and always having to rebound for him, you kind of learn where the ball placement is going to be, how to read the shot. Always having to rebound for him, because he made me rebound for days. And I wouldn't get no shots, but he make me rebound. So kind of learning that, and then also the offensive rebounding and everything is just a matter of your hustling if you want to do it. You got to have the mindset to do it in order to be able to. And I feel like I've always had the mindset of I'm gonna go get the offensive rebound. I'm gonna, get the defensive rebound, and then as far as steals and blocks, that kind of also I've always had pretty good hands. As far as catching and everything, because I played football growing up, wide receiver, quarterback, all of that. So, coming from Louisiana, football was the biggest culture. Football was my first love. I love football more than basketball. And then I had I broke my elbow, my shooting arm elbow, and I was like, I'm done. Basketball is in my blood, so I'm done with football. And stuck with basketball, and then kind of playing football taught me, different thing, hand-eye coordination, all of that stuff. And yeah, so that kind of sums that part up.
So kind of building off that, I noticed you'll have certain games where like you'll completely take over in one aspect. Like a couple weeks ago, you had a game where you had 5 blocks in like 19 minutes because you had fouled a bit. But like you'll have some games where like you're gonna rebound like crazy. Or the other day when you had 30, like you just took over that game scoring wise. Is that something you notice actively as well? Like you just have certain games you're focused on something, or does it just like come to you naturally?
I definitely have noticed that now looking back at my games is like the 30 points, the 9 rebounds, 9 offensive rebounds, the games, the 5 blocks. It's kind of what the other team gives me. 'Cause the 5 blocks game, like you said, I was fouling a lot. That's my downfall right now. I need to stop fouling. But that game, it was kind of the offensive rebounds weren't coming because as soon as I walked in the game, I heard the other coach say, put two on them, make sure you block out. And then so I was like, okay, this might not be the best offensive rebound tonight, but I'm still go, try to get the offensive rebounds. But and then that game, I was like, okay, I might focus on my steals or my blocks, try to get those. And the blocks just happened to come. And then, even in the steals game, the one game that I say I focused on steals, the steals kind of just come naturally. But the one game I kind of say I focused on the steals was Pacific because they told me I needed 3 in order to be the number one freshman at Santa Clara all time in leading in steals. If I got 3 more steals, so I was like, okay, I'm going out there to get steals. And then the first 3 minutes, I got 3 steals, I think, and I ended up with 5. But that was the only game I kind of like focused on steals. But other than that, those come kind of naturally. And then as far as scoring, you obviously as a basketball player, you always want to score. That's always your main kind of your main focus. But with the team we have, I kind of can be able to, with Christian, with Elijah, all of them, I can kind of be that third option, that person that is there if they need me. And kind of do what the team needs depending on the game. If they need me to get offensive rebounds, I'm gonna go get offensive rebounds. If they need me to score, I'll go out there and score. If they need me to, go get a steal, I'm gonna go get a steal. So it just depends on what the team needs in during those games.
And do you think you learned that sort of role malleability, even going back to AU, because you played on a pretty stacked front court team? You played with Rob Miller, played with Chris Sinak. Like, those are some of our favorite guys. And playing alongside them, like, what did you learn? How did you find your niche along two guys that were pretty highly recruited as bigs themselves?
Yeah, kind of playing with them, they are two great players. And playing with them kind of taught me, it's different roles in basketball always. You got your scorer, you got the person that's gonna go out there, do the hustle plays, you got your person that's gonna knock down a shot, knock down a three. It's kind of different roles in basketball. And like I said, bringing it back to being around basketball my whole life, you kind of learn that just watching. And for me, I was always one that could fit in multiple roles. So trying to figure that out game to game. When I was younger, it was kind of hard for me because I didn't know what role I wanted to be. But now I kind of adjusted to being able to do all of them. And depending on what, like I said, what the team needs.
Makes sense. I think the million-dollar question that everyone probably wants to know, that's kind of related to that, is how did you develop as a passer? And how did you develop this sort of feel? Because I know you talked about how your dad taught you the game. You grew up, playing the park with your sister, growing up under the tutelage of your brother. But this sort of feel at your size, at 230, 235, 6'9", that's probably one of the biggest selling points of you as a prospect. And even going back to you and AAU, you weren't passing like this. Like right now, you have a 2.7 assist turnover. I don't know if you keep up with that stuff, but that is in line with like very good guards, like Tyler Tanner, like Reed Sheppard, like those kind of guards put up a 2.7 assist to turnover. And you weren't really doing that in AAU. You weren't really passing like that. So where did that, obviously the steals were always there. You have really good hands, but where does that feel really come from? And specifically with the passing, how did you progress from, not really passing at all in AU to being one of the most productive forward passers we've seen as a freshman?
I really let's see. I feel like, just the like I keep bringing it back to, but like the experience of the game and being able to watch it so much, I feel like that's kind of helped my feel tremendously. And then just going out there and playing confidently. I've always been one to, I don't want to turn the ball over, so I'm gonna make the smart play. I'm gonna make the right play. I don't really take too many risks, but I will if I think it is going to end up in a bucket for my teammates. And taking care of the ball is another thing that I pride myself on. I mean, like I said, I don't want to turn the ball over at all, because that if you don't get a shot up, that's the worst play in basketball. I mean, you got to get at least get a shot up, and that's what they kind of tell us in film all the time. We were struggling in some games that we lost this season with turnovers, and we kind of instilled that throughout practice with rat points, we call it. And if you turn the ball over, every turnover was a 22, so you don't want to turn that ball over. And that's what kind of helped that. And then just the feel for the game kind of comes naturally. I mean, just being around my brother, my sister, being around basketball so much has helped my feel for the game. And just I've always had that. It's always been slowed down in my mind. It comes like naturally, I'd say, but
Have you made any changes to your free throw shooting, whether that's like a routine or anything with your form? Because since the start of conference player up to 78%, and before that you're like in the mid 50s, so is that like a mental thing or?
It was, I really don't, I started off bad. I don't know. I was like, yeah, like you said, like 50%. And I was like, bruh, this is crazy. Because I've been a solid free throw shooter. I wouldn't say I've been the greatest, but I've been a solid free throw shooter. And then it was kind of just being nervous out there at the beginning of the season, my first year playing college basketball. So those nerves were hitting hard. And that free throw line is where it really slows down, and you feel like you got all the eyes on you. So really just being comfortable out there. And then as far as the routine, I've always did the three dribbles, but I kind of changed it over the summer, because I used to do a spin, but then I didn't like my hand placement on the ball, so I just took out the spin. And what I really added that really helped me was breathing before. Close my eyes, breathe, and then I always now before I'd be like, Lord God, please help me to make this. And that's kind of, guys that have been with me on my free throws.
That's really fire. Wow.
Is there something that, like, you talk about, you're aware of all of these changes, right? Like, you're aware of like what you need to improve on. Is there anything like we're gonna get around the time where people start to like decide whether they want to declare or not and decide whether they want to pursue the draft? Is there anything that you feel you need to address before like really making that decision? Is there something that like you or the people around you, is there something that you're consciously trying to improve on?
The free throws was a big one. Getting my free throw percentage up was definitely a big one. And then showcasing more of what I can do as far as the perimeter side of it. And offensively, I feel like, defensively, I've been kind of the same all season with the steals, with the blocks, and then offensive rebounding and stuff. That kind of stuff has been kind of consistent all season. But as far as my offensive, what do you call it? Productivity, offense productivity, that aspect of it, kind of, I wanted to showcase more of what I can do on the offensive side. And My brother, he came out here right before the Gonzaga game, and we worked out in the gym. And he was like, "You just got to have that attack mindset, and go and attack. Just know that none of the fives can guard you, so it's a mismatch for them." And being able to understand that and kind of seeing it, watching film with him, we watch film before every game, and he shows me exactly where I could get my buckets, pick and pop, whether it's a drive here, drive right here, and he'll analyze that film, and we watch film before every game and kind of picking apart the other team's defense. And since doing that, it's kind of helped me in the game when I'm in those moments, kind of know what to do and be more comfortable when doing it. And so I'd say offensive productivity was definitely one that I wanted to showcase more of, like being able to dribble, being able to shoot. My shooting was one with the three-pointer, because I know a lot of people were questionable about that, whether I could shoot the three or not, and because I didn't shoot a lot of volume, but I wanted to go out there and showcase more of that. So, picking pops, trails, all of that, catching shoots, just being able to go out there and show them that I can shoot, and I've been doing it my whole life. And then, yeah, that was stuff that I wanted to address before the draft and before I declare. But yeah, I feel like so far I've been doing a good job of doing that and kind of showcasing what I can do out there as far as my full potential. But I still haven't reached that next level that I want to be at, and I hope these last couple games will go out there and showcase it even more.
I also wanted to ask, like, you bring up like the statistical indicators. You're bringing up the offensive rebounding. That's what gets us so excited, right? You're bringing up the steals and blocks. Like, that's what we love. Like, we love guys that produce on every possession when they're on the court, right? So when you're guarding, is it a conscious decision? Like, you mentioned you had one game where you wanted to break the record. You were like going for the steals, right? Are you more of like an opportunistic steal and block guy where you're just getting them in the flow of the game? Or is that more of like a decision on your part to like end the possession there? Because sometimes when I'm watching, like, you impose your will on the opposing team's offense. Like, you really are just like, no, the possession's gonna stop right now. I'm gonna make this happen. So is that like something that you're focusing on throughout the course of the game?
Yeah, I definitely, if they don't score, then they can't win. So definitely want to stop them as soon as possible. And I feel like I have the ability to get steals off the ball and even on the ball in times. But just kind of, like you said, imposing my will. I just want to be out there, be a force out there. It kind of also in the flow of the game, I like those steals are the best because I don't really focus on it too much. Like that Pacific game, I was focused on it because I wanted to break the record, and that was me being more aggressive towards the steals. But as far as the other ones, I kind of go with the flow of the game, and they kind of, I don't know, they just happen. But they also, when I do try to, sometimes I get over aggressive, and that's where the fouls come in, and the dumb fouls that I can limit and be able to stay out there in the game more and play more minutes. So kind of working on that is another thing, my foul rate and trying to get that down so I can stay in the game and be even more productive.
Just another stuff with the research and everything, right? You say you want to get the fouls down, and like that makes sense logically, right? Like you said, you just want to like not foul out of the game. You want to play as much as possible, right?
Right.
But I've personally done a lot of research where the guys who get have like super high steal and block rates, and they do foul a lot. Their defense translates like pretty well to the league. Like a guy like Draymond Green, for example, Herb Jones, they fouled a lot in college, like just as much as you. And it's worked pretty well because what it really is like at its core is that you're like trying to make a play and that you have the idea, you have it in your head. And then if you're, a second off or the ref sees it a certain way, that's the foul. So like getting fouls down is like logically like a meritable concept, but at the same time, not to the point where it's like you're playing less aggressive. And that's not something that you would do. Like that's like kind of where you're trying to find the balance in between it. But I just wanted to share that because there's guys who like John Morant used to get like a bunch of steals and blocks in college. Tyrese Halliburton, right now we look at these guys in the league, and these are like some of the worst defenders who like not on the from a statistical basis at least. So I just kind of wanted to present that concept to you, like fouls Fouls are bad if you want to play more, but as far as your NBA translation, it's probably a good sign that that's how that this is your the way that you go about the game. So that's pretty
Yep.
fire.
I definitely like you said, being more aggressive. I don't want to lose that. But also it's some out there that I'd be like, man, what was I doing right here? I'm like, what? I could have just stayed like this. Some the walling up ones is what I want to work on. It because I tend to swipe down every time. Like my brother shows me the film, so we watch film all the time, and he's my biggest critic. And he always, telling me what I need to do better at, what I need to do, and he'll show me, and I'm every time they're driving at me, I'll put my hands here instead of just stand up because I'm always trying to get the swipe down, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, and I just have to live with it.
Absolutely, it comes with the game, and I guess you touched on it just a little bit earlier, but like you say, when you're walling up, that's something that you're usually doing as a five. As you came up, what was your kind of your spectrum positionally like? Were you always a five because you're doing it now? And I think it is like at least like slightly unfamiliar, but not too unfamiliar. But as you went through your career, kind of what position did you play?
So yeah, growing up, like I said, my brother, we played a little bit of point guard throughout growing up, junior high, all of that. And then once I got to high school, I kind of hit my growth spurt. So I was like 6 foot maybe my freshman, or 6'2" maybe my freshman year. And then that sophomore year summer, the or my freshman year summer, I grew to 6'7". And so that was kind of my growth spurt, my big growth spurt moment. And then obviously grew to 6'9" throughout the rest of the years, but I feel like in those moments, it was kind of playing went from playing more of the wing positions to point guard to more of a five man, especially in high school. Like you said, I'm not too unfamiliar with playing the five because I was always, I mean, I grew to 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", so it was like they kind of just threw me down there. But that's the one thing I feel like Punchatula did a great job of allowing me to play outside and be also bring the ball up the court, showcase that. And they gave me the freedom to really do what I wanted with the ball. And that's kind of the reason why I wanted to transfer back to Punchatula also, was because I knew that they would give me the freedom to play my game instead of, traditional high school. If you over 6 foot, you don't play the five. And especially public school. So Punchatula did a great job of allowing me to play that. But I like you said, I'm not too unfamiliar with the five, but in college, my 2 years, redshirt year, and the beginning, the preseason, all of that of this year, I was playing the four in practices and stuff, barely played the five. And then kind of adjusting to that here. Because in high school, you don't really have too many other 6'9"s. Like I played against Chris Sinak, in high school and all and them, but you don't really have too many other 6'9"s. But in college, everybody has a five, man. You're not the tallest one on the court no more. So kind of adjusting to that, not being the biggest player on the court, especially playing the five, they're, strong, all of that. So adjusting to that part of it was the hardest part. And that's why I feel like I got so many early fouls on in the beginning of the season, because I was kind of adjusting to banging and, picking my spots with swiping, fouling, all of that.
For sure.
So something that we talked about a bit earlier, it's really been like a tale of two seasons for you. And about this specifically, the first 13 games of the year, you had a 14% turnover percentage, which is still good, and a 1.7 assist to turnover. But in the 14 games since, your turnover percentage is down to 4.3. Your assist to turnover ratio is 4.7. That's like unfathomable turnover aversion. And it's not even like you're on low usage. Your usage has spiked in that span as well. You're scoring more. Like, are you hyper aware of? I know you're talking about earlier, you don't ever want to turn it over at all, but how do you balance not turning it over while being more aggressive on offense? Because you're also passing more now as well. Like I found it really, I don't want to sound too fanned out, but like I found it really impressive how you've managed to scale up on offense without like you're not turning it over more. And that's something I was really hoping to see from you, because like your defensive profile is insane. I was like, okay, like can all this auxiliary stuff hold up when you get more offensive usage? And it really has. Like, is that something you've noticed?
Yeah, for sure. Like you said, being in more of an attack mindset, you would think turnovers come with it, but I don't know. I feel like I pick my spots very well as far as when to attack, when to, just get it out. And now teams are starting to, see the offensive productivity I'm doing, and Like in the Seattle game, as soon as I touched it in the post, there was a red coming. And I've always felt like I've been able to make the right play, even throughout my high school UIBL days. I feel like I've always been that player to make the right play, and that kind of transferred over to college. And I love when a trap comes because I know I can make the pass out of it, and I know that I'm going to get my teammates open, and I know I can pick the defense apart because of how slow the game goes in my mind and where I can read the help defense. So just being able to adjust to what the defense gives me, and then being on the attack more, kind of I would say even opened it up even more, because now the defense has to adjust to what I'm doing. If I'm attacking, then they're five men and they have to help, and because of that help, somebody else is going to be open. So kind of being able to read the defense throughout the game and just plan to what the defense gives me.
I wanted to ask about, because you've obviously, like, you're very self-aware. Like, you see all the stuff that's said about you on social media. Kind of, what are your thoughts on people trying to, like, calm the storm? Because I've seen a couple of evaluators recently be like, like, he's got some, there's some lineup stuff. Like, there's some, like, they're nitpicking basically, and they're like, maybe he should return. I want to see it next year. But kind of, what's your message to those people? Because, I mean, me personally, man, I think you got the goods. Everyone on the panel, I'm sure, feels the same way. I mean, like, yeah, what are your thoughts for those people? Like, and what are your thoughts on evaluators trying to, like, maybe knock you down a peg, I guess?
I love it. I love it. I feel like it gives me more fuel to the fire. Gives me more motivation. If I didn't have people saying that, then I'm not doing my job right. Because they need something to talk about, and I'm glad that I can be that for them. I take it all with a grain of salt. I look at all that stuff. Like I look up my name on Twitter a lot. Just to see, just to read little comments, and obviously that's not the best, but I don't know, I just do it because I like looking at that stuff. I like reading. Anybody likes reading about themselves, so I kind of go and I'll see that stuff. The lineups, he's not high usage. He's he doesn't shoot the ball at volume. I look at all that stuff and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go show you. I'm gonna go show you I will do it, and I'm gonna go show you why I can do it, and that kind of gives me more fuel to the fire. And just looking at it kind of, like I said, just gives me motivation. And I want to show them why I'm not going to be here next year. I'm going to be in
You're showing them, man. That's fire.
NBA.
That's awesome.
Absolutely. No, that's so tough, dude. That's so fire, bro. That's like the craziest answer. Just say we're going straight to the league with it. In your recruiting, I guess we'll bring it back a little bit. When you did, you said you committed to SC on the visit so that you can kind of just get it, not, I guess, get it over with and then just, play your senior season. As you went through that, or as they were kind of explaining the process of what your role was going to be on the team, so on or so forth, did you feel like you were joining a team that your skills, that they needed your skill set, or that you were going to come in and do and kind of play their game? If you kind of see what I mean there, right?
Yeah, for sure. Their system was definitely fit for players like me, smart players that'll make the right play, but also can, have the freedom to go create for yourself. And that, like I said, that's the one thing when I talked to my brother about Santa Clara first calling me, he was like, they'd be a great fit for how you play and how you want to play. They let you play on the perimeter as the four, even as the five, you'll have opportunities to play on the perimeter, and you kind of control the offense in a way. And that was one thing that stuck out to me when choosing Santa Clara, was their style of play, and how they, even on the visit, they showed me film of how their bigs, push the break, how they you use their bigs, not just in ways of, go set a screen, roll, go get a post up, go do that, but they use them in ways that, you'll be on the perimeter, you'll have your opportunities. And that kind of stuck out to me, and made me want to commit even more, because they'd use me in the way that I wanted, and have the freedom to do what I wanted, kind of like high school, to where my coach gave me a little bit more freedom to be able to play on the perimeter, to be able to go showcase what I can do, and they've given me the same opportunity.
That's really fire. Maybe the relationship between them and maybe like a team, other teams that ended up on like your top three or top five. I don't know if your recruiting was like that, where you kind of like narrowed it down like that, or you kind of just, you know, rocked with it. But was there, were other teams like more cautious and wanted you to play more of like a static role instead of you going out there and doing like and playing like you play? And was that a
So
difference there?
my top, I was really deciding between Xavier and Tier. So Xavier was my other school, and they kind of showed me the same thing about using their bigs in the same way. And they sent me a whole recruiting slideshow of like, and on the Zoom calls and everything, they showed me like their bigs being able to play kind of the same style as Santa Clara, but in the Big East. So Bear Conference with, and that was when Sean Miller and them were there. So they were kind of, pushing towards that and their style of play. And I was like, okay, I really like them. They called right before the week before Santa Clara called, they called. And I was like, Xavier called. And I kind of knew about Xavier and was like, yeah, I like them, That was exciting for them to call. And I feel like the biggest thing was in that deciding factor was Santa Clara getting me out on a visit. When they got me on the visit, they got me on a visit first, and they kind of met with my family, did a Zoom call with my family first, and introduced themselves to my family, because my family was the biggest part. If my family likes you, then I like you. And so Santa Clara met me with my family. My family felt really great about them, felt like they were genuine people, and they got me out on a visit first, and that's what kind of played that factor. And that's what, made me decide to commit.
Absolutely, bro.
Just a quick question about Xavier. How did they pitch your role specifically? Because I know if they were pitching you, I think Dalen Swain was probably on the team in your final year. Was the Swain role kind of what you would envision, or it's something where you're more out in transition on offense rather than, you know, being more in the post? How
So
would
they,
that
yeah,
look on defense?
they pitched as more of, being able to push the ball in transition, being able to be a connector in the offense, as well as, and they knew that I could play in the post and be a post player, but also come out and be a perimeter player. So they kind of pitched both of those ideas, as well as, being that connector, coming to get the ball on the top of the key, being able to drive, being able to play pick and roll, play, be a versatile player. And that's what I kind of liked about them. And then also Santa Clara. Santa Clara kind of pitched the same thing. So I feel like it just came down to a culture thing. And and obviously Santa Clara got me. I only took one visit, and that was Santa Clara. And they got me out on a visit first, so they were the ones I chose. And I'm very glad that I made that decision.
What position do you think you're best suited for? Because right now, obviously you said you've grown up playing more of the four. This is the first year playing the five. You've been really effective at the five. The minutes where you're like, obviously you play, Bucky plays. You guys are both like a little foul prone, so you got to stagger a little bit, right? But you're playing the five, and that's some of the most effective high impact basketball that we've seen out of Santa Clara. So how do you envision your role in the NBA? And do you think you can keep like, you know, going back and forth between the four and five, or do you have to eventually choose a specific position?
I feel like the player that I am, I feel like I could do both, as far as the four and the five, but I definitely grew more comfortable to be at the four. And because, like I said, my redshirt year and my preseason, all of that, I was expecting to play the four, so I feel like that was more comfortable for me. But I can definitely adjust to being the five. And in the NBA, it definitely would be harder to be the five with, just the guys in the NBA. But I feel like I can match up and be able to hold my own against them. And obviously, playing the four, playing the five is in the NBA would be something that I could do and be able to accomplish in both.
And the follow-up to that is, are there certain types of guards or centers that you think you would have more synergy with in the NBA, or just in generally that just like synergize with your game? Because I right now, the player that you have, I don't know if you look at like on-offs or like the you're the best duos on Santa Clara by net rating, but you and Jake, very high net rating. You and what's his name? Darlin, Theory Darlin. you guys are, especially that's because you're playing the five and he's playing the four in those
Right.
lineups. But are there certain, when you are playing the four, is there a certain type of five that you think best suits you? And then at the guard position, is there a certain type of guard, shooting guard, that really synergize with you on offense or defense?
Like you said, you mentioned me playing with Jake. Jake is definitely a great, you everybody wants to play with Jake because he's such a high impact player. He affects the game in so many ways that people, you know, often take for granted. Like being just a smart player, make the right decision, and being out there to he could do so much with the ball, like being able to pass and, you know, create our start our offense, and then just making he'll make the right play every time.
Yeah.
And so I feel like players like that I definitely gel with because I'm kind of the same way. I want to make the right play, and all him having a like mindset with me, I'm not surprised that me and him play very well together. But as far as the five position, that's and when I'm playing the four, just a like I said, just somebody like-minded to where if they can, I like playing with versatile people. So if the five is very versatile, being able to step out, being able to play on the perimeter, being able to kind of do a little bit of everything, so kind of doing that, and then the guard position, I feel like me and I'll just say Christian, like Christian on my team. Me and Christian play well together because he plays so well in pick and roll and pick and pop situations to where you have to respect him, but also if I'm popping, you also have to respect me. So it's a lose-lose situation either way. Is the big gonna stay with him or is he gonna come with me? And if he comes with me, he's getting a layup. If he doesn't, I'm getting a three. And just being able to play off of that. So guard that's able to make the right decision, but also, you know, create for himself.
And the final question related to synergy. Do you see anything off the court that kind of aligns with the on-court synergy? Like someone like Christian, where you came up with him during the redshirt season. Do you think building chemistry off the court has a tangible effect on the court, or do you think they're more unrelated, or is there, a tenuous relationship there?
It definitely plays a huge part in even just this year's team. We kind of gelled together throughout the summer and throughout the workouts that we had preseason, all of that. This team was kind of the closest team I've been a part of, and because of that, it's kind of showed on the court. And like you said, with Kristen, me and Kristen are best friends. We have a relationship that's going to last beyond basketball and beyond everything else because we've went through, you know, that redshirt year together. We were roommates. We were literally, our beds were dang near right next to each other in the little Graham dormitory. And you know, me and him have built a special relationship that he's like my brother. And especially, you know, like I talked about my faith in God, and me and him have kind of talked about that, and he's held me accountable and I've held him accountable in our walks with God. And that's kind of, you know, gelled that relationship and kind of helped us, and because of that, you know, it's kind of boosted our chemistry on the court. So I feel like that relationship that you have with somebody outside the court and outside of the basketball aspect of it can definitely help on the court because you just build that chemistry with each other.
Makes sense.
You have the highest free throw rate on your team. So is this something you notice, and is that something that inspired you to kind of focus on your free throws and like your routine, you said? Because the gap between it's you and Bucky, and Bucky's 7 foot, so of course he's going to get fouled. And then everybody else, you have a pretty significant gap. And of course, in conference play, that's only spiked further. You have a 52 free throw rate, which is pretty crazy. Like, is this something also where you're like, oh, let me go out there and try to draw fouls, or is it just like your physical play style just tends to send you to the line?
I feel like it's the physical play style. It'll, you know, some games, like I've had the Washington State game and then the Gonzaga game recently where I shot 9 for 10, shooting 10 free throws. It was just the way they played, like the physical gameplay of it. And if it was definitely a big emphasis in my game throughout the season, and an adjustment was, if I'm gonna get to the free throw line, I gotta capitalize on it. You know, it's not only easy points for me, but it can be the difference of, you know, winning the game and losing the game. And So I definitely wanted to work on that selfishly and for the team, because it's just the free throws is free, and I want to capitalize on every opportunity that I have to get a free bucket.
I guess I'll just throw in one comment. It's a you have a super cool mentality because I see exactly how to put it. It's like anything on the court that you can do, it seems like you can just do it, right? Like you said, like if I want to get a steal, I'm just gonna go get a steal. If I'm gonna make more free throws, I'm just gonna make more free throws. That's like an internal thing, obviously too, but it must also be like really cool. So there's like kind of no. That you're doing that. This is a good question. I just came up with it. Did you kind of gain this playing style playing like in a at a smaller school, in high school, like where you were really the best player on the floor at all times, and it's carried on through the rest of you playing basketball? Like you really can do anything because you've already done it before. Like you've already seen yourself do everything.
Yeah, I would say definitely that played a part in it, just being able to play for my public school and, have the success there. Played a part in it, kind of boosted my confidence coming here, because of the accomplishment that I had in high school. It definitely gave me the confidence to be able to be like, yeah, I feel like I can do everything and I can do a little bit of everything, even though I might be better at this or better at this. I feel like I can do a little bit of everything and just going out there and showing it. And then I know the work that I've put in and the person that I am. If I put my mind to something, I'm gonna do it. And it's something like that I've been, ball handling was something that I've been working on throughout the season. I started doing ball handling every morning, every night, just constant work. If I put my mind to something, I'm gonna work at it. And that kind of translated to the production that I'm having now. And then free throws, I was like, okay, my free throw's bad. I'm gonna work on it. I'm gonna go shoot 100 free throws in the morning, 100 free throws a night. I'm gonna go work on it. And just kind of having that mindset kind of helped me to be able to do everything, a little bit of everything, because I know if I work on it enough, then it's gonna eventually translate to the game.
Totally.
Could you talk more about Santa Clara, the team construct, and how are you guys this good? Because one of the biggest surprises of the season is, the WCC is going to it potentially might be a three-bid league. You guys weren't in the top 100 of preseason KenPom, and now you're like 30 something. So how did that happen? Obviously, you built those relationships, especially during your redshirt season. But how exactly is Santa Clara just this good?
I feel like it was definitely like I talked about earlier, was we gelled together this offseason and this summer, and that preseason we gelled, really came together as a team, and set the goal of, we want to be an NCAA tournament team, and we all had like mindsets in that. And obviously we all want to accomplish, our individual goals and everything like that, but we kind of made that team goal and made that our number one focus. And because of that, we are able to have the season that we're having now. And also the coaches and the culture, they instilled a great culture this off season, and just us, buying into that and being able to go out there and show it is just amazing. And our team, we kind of knew from the jump that we have the chance, with the returners that we had coming back. And then me and Christian coming off the redshirt year, me and him were expecting to have big years. We had our expectations for ourselves. Like I said, just the returners coming back, and then the transfers we brought in, and the freshmen have been a big part of it. And we knew that we had the team in order to be a three big conference, like you said. And we wanted to go out there and show everybody else what we already knew.
Is there anything stylistically about Santa Clara that you think really allows you guys to match up well with other teams come March? Because obviously, the goal is to make a deep WCC tourney run and hopefully a deep March Madness run. So how is there something in the way that the team is set up, either stylistically or personnel-wise, or the way they're coaching you, in that you guys are able to, come out on top against when you eventually play high major teams?
I think that they do a great job of recruiting, not only good players but good guys. That was one of their big recruiting pitches when they were recruiting me, was that, They typically don't go after the four or the five stars. They go after the people who are kind of under the radar because they know that those are the guys that's going to work hard. They know that those are the guys that are going to be, the best people. And they do a great job, like I said, recruiting just people that aren't just good on the court, but off the court as well. And because of that, we have the opportunity to gel together, and we have the opportunity to build that chemistry and be able to showcase it on the court. And then the way that they allow us to play is definitely great. We have kind of a free will and being able to do not do what we want, but we have the option of breaking a playoff. We have the option of, going out there. If I see this, then I can tell the coaches and they'll adjust to what I see. If I see they're helping off of me, if I see they're gonna red me, then just being able to go to the coaches and talk to them and have an open relationship with them has definitely helped us to get where we are. And then the team that they built around players is definitely great. We have a good rotation. We have a deep team. We're not just a starting five, but we have people coming off the bench, like myself included. We have people that come give us a spark. Sasha's been great this season. Terry has been great. And then even our KJ, our freshman, he's coming in off the bench, giving us that spark that we need. So having a total group of players that's bought into the system and willing to come in and, not complain about minutes, not complain about, if they had a bad game. We all celebrate each other when we win. If somebody has a great game, we celebrate, Sash when he had that 37-point game. We jumping up, spraying water on him, all of that. When I had the 30-point game, they, drowned me dang near. But, just being able to celebrate each other and not focus only on our individual goals, but team goals as well.
Throughout the course of the game, I never played as high level ball as you did. I don't think anyone on the call did, but I know I always wanted to be the steals guy. I always wanted to read when the defender was going to gather, when the ball was going to be beneath their hips, like knowing when to swipe is super important. Can you describe some of your favorite reads to make, like when you go to swipe for the ball? Like what are you reading on the defender to know when you're going to go for the steal?
So a lot of my steals come off the ball. So being able to read their eyes, I feel like in the passing lanes, and having great hands kind of helps me, with the steals. But some of the reads, just reading the passer's eyes, especially I like steals in transition. When I like 2-on-1s because I know how to play the, that's why I'm good in pick and roll, when it's a two-man game. Because I can read the defender and be able to, if I see his eyes go to the big, then I'm gonna jump to the big. But kind of making him if and make him, think in his head. Because once a person thinks, and that's when they're more prone to mess up, rather than just being comfortable to go up. Oh, I'm gonna go make this layup. I'm gonna go, and then doing scouting reports also helps because when we do scout, we kind of see their tendencies. If this guy's a scorer, then I know he's probably not trying to pass the ball, so he's gonna want to lay it up. So trying to go get the steal before or even get the block. And then the scouting report definitely helps. And I get a lot of scouting report steals too, like off the big. They like to pass the ball to the big at the top of the key. So I'm gonna go get that. Try to go get it. And definitely off the plug helps too. Our pick and roll defense. Just being able to go attack the guard. They want us to be aggressive in our plug. So when they allow me to be aggressive and be the player that I am, I'm gonna go be aggressive. And they always tell me you can never be too aggressive. So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go show you. You don't want to tell me that. I'm gonna go out there. All right, I'm gonna be aggressive. And so those are some of the reads. And some of it just comes naturally. I mean, just being out there, flow of the game, like. Get my hand on the ball, go get it.
So, as you as a passer on offense, something I noticed when watching you have like a really crazy processing ability and speed. Like it seems like the game slows down for you. Like, is that something that you've worked on, like you pride yourself on as a passer?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely being able to read the defense and, read what they give me. I just want to, like I said, just make the right play. make the winning play for my team. And you know, the game kind of slowed, it definitely has slowed down even more for me, but it's always been kind of slow for me, and just being able to process what the defender is giving me and the help side, and just being able to read that defense and make the right play. So that's definitely been a huge part of my game, and I definitely take pride in that.
I also think that watching you a lot, passing out of the post, you'll pass the cutters a lot. Is that something you and the team work on? Because like that play seems to work really well for you guys.
It's actually not something we work on necessarily, but it's something that, like I said, that comes with chemistry off the court. Like I get a lot of my cutting to Christian. Christian gets a lot of the cuts from off the post. And that's because he does a great job of reading his defender, and if his defender turns his head, and I trust him enough to know even if the defender is on his hip, I can pass it in that tight space and he's gonna catch it and make a play with it. So building that chemistry off the court has kind of helped. But we also, like, I'm not gonna say we don't work on it, because we obviously, you know, we work on out of the red pass to the backside, out of the reading the 45 cutter. But it's not, those plays aren't something that we tend to just focus on in practice, but it's something that just kind of comes naturally to the team. And they know that I can pass out of the post, so they're more, you know, willing to cut when I have the ball. And because of that, I'm gonna find them.
Is there anything else surprising or something that that fans wouldn't expect just off watching you, or off the stats that you could give us a sneak peek about?
Let's see, something that's surprising, that I'm more athletic than what people think. Like I could jump, I can like I had that dunk early in the season on the dude, but I can do some stuff with the ball in the air. And off one foot, especially off my left foot. If you let me get a little running start with that left foot, I can get up there, put my head up there by that rim. But and then dribbling, I feel like they hadn't seen me dribble that much throughout this season. I'm kind of working on, you know, going, being able to attack the defender off the dribble, and you know, I feel like I want to showcase that a lot more. Showcase, you know, my handle, and that's something that will be seen in the near future.
You're going to start running more pick and rolls.
And roll, yeah.
It's fire.
So do you have like a favorite individual performance you've had this season? 'Cause I mean, like I said earlier, you have like a bunch of games where you'll do a ton of one thing. So are there any of those that like you've really stood out to you?
Obviously, you know, the easy one is to say the Washington State game, the 30-13. I forgot the rest. Four assists, maybe. I think I had four assists. I know I had two steals. But that game definitely stands out the most because it's my highest scoring game, and I feel like I did a lot of everything that game. And I like that game, it was definitely big for my confidence, because I felt like in the clutch time, in those moments where our team needed a bucket, I got it for us. So that just boosted my confidence even more. And but one performance that I, you know, I really liked was the which game was that? Think it was, who did we play? I have, oh, the Seattle game. That was Seattle. 15-5-5. Or yeah, 15-5-5. I had five assists. That was one of my favorite games. Because I felt like I did a little bit of, you know, showcasing my passing in that game, and out of the post to Christian, you know, on the perimeter, being able to pass on the perimeter and making the right decision, read the defense. I really liked that game because of the assist. And then I felt like that game was one of my weaker games on the rebounding side, so I didn't like that part. Especially the last two games, I feel like I've struggled on the rebounding. They kind of locked in on me rebounding wise, but that'll get back up this next game. And you know, being able to adjust to them adjusting to me.
Looking around the WCC or just in college basketball, are there any teams you find yourself watching, or any certain players that you think are a little bit underrated, they should get more attention, or just like just generally favorite players or teams?
As far as watching, I've been watching Michigan. I like Michigan. And then I've been watching, Yaxel.
Yeah.
They kind of compare me to him in this draft class, in this this class, kind of with the situation that he had last year with coming back to college. They think that I'm kind of like him in the situation, but with a little more exposure as far as the draft. So Michigan was one that I kind of like watching. And then let's see, underrated. If I could be biased, I'm gonna say my dog Jake from our team is very underrated as far as what he does and the productivity that he provides for us and the what he does to help winning on a game-to-game basis is definitely big. But I don't know. I don't watch. I watch highlights, so I don't really watch the games of like anybody else. I watch the highlights of it, so I like on YouTube or something. I'll go watch, Michigan versus somebody, or BYU. AJ DeBanster is definitely one that's fun to watch. And then who else? Arkansas. I like Arkansas because Darius Acuff and Malik Thomas, they definitely fun to watch. The confidence that they have on the court is fun to watch. And then Alabama is definitely another one because LeBaron Feilein and Aiden Holloway. And I like Florida. Thomas, how do you, I don't know. I don't want to butcher Latin name. Thomas Ho or Thomas Hu.
Oh, bro,
He,
we butchered that like 20 times on the show, but
yeah,
you're good.
yeah, but he. He's fun to watch. And then their big man, the five man, what's his name?
Ruben?
Ruben. I like when he had that clip on Alabama with the defense, I was like, yeah,
Yeah.
that's nice. I like that. That's fun. That they're definitely fun to watch, Florida. And then the two guards that they have, Boogie, and I played against Boogie in high school on UIBL. He's nice. He's definitely one of the nicer guards that I played with or played against. And supporting my boys, just Robs, Chris, Houston. You got Cam. He got hurt, but he played for Kentucky. Cam Williams. He, hurt his foot, but he was definitely one of the people that I kept up with. Just keeping in touch with them, always keeping up with them. Supporting each other, coming from the same places. Gotta support them. Ty Jones from Nichols.
Is there anyone in the WCC that you think next year is just going to break out? That you think they're going to break out, but no one's really on them yet?
One of our red shirts, Bradley Longcore. He's one of the I really like playing with him in practice. He's definitely gonna have a big season next year. He's gonna be a big part of the winning culture next year, here at Santa Clara. And want to shout him out because he's really a tough point guard. He's kind of helped me. I do his ball handling. Me and him do ball handling in the mornings, at night. So me and him, and then we shoot free throws all the time. So me and him kind of built that off the court relationship. And he's gonna have a big season next year because he's, and then like I said, he's even better off the court wise, even. So just having that relationship with him, he's definitely gonna have a big year next year. Is there anybody else that I could think of? Not off the top of my head, no. Not I don't want to give nobody on no other teams any praise.
Yeah, a couple more. What's your NBA outlook as of right now, or like thoughts on going to the league? I know you already mentioned it, but are you firmly like, is that the plan for
Yeah,
sure?
that's the plan. Definitely
This decision.
after this year, it's been a lot of ups and downs, just seeing where it's going. At the beginning it was like, okay, it's there, but it's not there. But it's a possibility. And then as the season went on, talking to my agent and everything, they're like, yeah, it's definitely a real possibility that you could go. And I told them, I'm like, if there's even a sliver of a chance, I'm going. I'm declaring I want to go this year. Like that's the first and foremost plan. I don't want come back to college. I don't want to do nothing. I want to go to the NBA, and that's the plan after this year. And that I hope God's gonna allow it, and I know he's already got it in store for me. So just having faith in him and trusting in him and trusting the process. I know that that's gonna be something that is something I want to happen this year, and I know that he's going to provide. So just being first and foremost, like I said, first and foremost, NBA. That's definitely. But you always got to have that backup plan. You always got to have options open. So, but yeah, NBA is definitely first option for sure after this year.
For sure, man. And this
Is there
is.
like a dream player you want to play with in the NBA? Or like a guy you've grown up watching? Or even a team that you'd like to play on?
Let's
Besides
see.
LeBron.
See, I'm Michael Jordan.
Really?
Yeah, my pops was always he always Michael Jordan. My pops grew up with Michael Jordan, so he instilled that in us. So we a Michael Jordan family. So he's the GOAT to me. But as far as a player, Ant, I love Ant, just his his confidence and everything, the way he plays the game, definitely someone fun to watch, as well as, I bet he's fun to be around. But one team that I really like, Detroit. Detroit, I feel like their play style really, I love how they play. And Cade Cunningham, I grew up watching him, all the overtime documentaries, Cade and them. That's just watching him and at Montverde, with the Texas Titans, all them, yeah. Cade is definitely somebody that I'd love to play with. But really anybody, I ain't got no, I'm not picky, especially when it comes to the NBA. If there anybody, any team that want to give me an opportunity, I'm there.
Let's see. You mentioned you got ups, and maybe some people are discounting like the 1 foot leaping ability. Who's the guy that you want to get? You want to body him. You want to get a poster. Who's
Oh,
the guy?
obviously Wemby's up there because he's just dumb tall. Like you definitely
Yeah, for sure.
want to body Wemby, and then just make my pops happy, get LeBron. But who else? You got Wemby, Bron, shoot, Ant. Who? Oh, Rudy Gobert. Yeah,
For
Rudy Gobert.
sure.
I want. Yeah.
Respect.
But shoot, anybody I could get really. If they jump with me, it's going. Hey.
Oh man. Well, unless anybody's got anything else, man. I mean, this has been an honor having you on today. It was a lot of fun. I'll just say here, man, you're one of the most well-spoken and introspective prospects I've ever gotten. Well, I watched a ton of these interviews. I've had the privilege to talk to, several NBA facing players, and it's just an honor, man. You did an incredible job, and I can't say thank you enough for doing this, man. This is incredible.
Oh yeah, I can't thank y'all enough. This was great, just being able to talk, like you said, it's just a conversation, like you said at the beginning. And just being able to talk is great. I always love to talk basketball, so
Sure.
yeah,
Yeah,
definitely been
man. Wish you
amazing.
luck. Yeah. With Santa Clara, like these next few games are so important, and we want to see a deep run in the tourney, in the WCC tourney, March Madness, or we watch every game. We're very invested,
Yeah,
so.
man, I n never thought I'd be sitting at 11:40 p.m. because I live on the East Coast watching Santa Clara, but here I am, man. Like, I don't have any real college teams, so, like, I'm watching every game, man. You think I was like an alumni or something?
Appreciate all that. We need that support. So, like you said, these big last couple games, we got to finish out the season strong, make that push, get there in that tourney. So, we gonna do it though. I got faith in us.
I mean, we
Yeah.
do as well.
Yeah, we do for sure, bro.
Be on the lookout. I know you look your name up sometimes. I guarantee you're going to see at least a few tweets about you from each of us. in the upcoming months, especially if you do end up going to the NBA. Like that, it's just an incredible come up, just going all the way from just being unranked. I've never seen a prospect not have a 24/7 page. Like a prospect that goes to the NBA, I've never seen that.
Didn't even have a profile. They didn't even give
Like
me a profile.
there's levels. Like you're not even 400 ranked. You're not even unranked. You're not even on the page.
I can show you 10 million emails I done sent to all the 247, all the people. I done sent all the emails. I sent them my profile and I sent them everything. Trying to get the profile start. Like this
Yeah,
isn't even
just to
to get
have it.
ranked, just to have a profile.
Yeah.
I done sent a lot of emails to them people and they never hit me back. They never created the profile. And I, you know, and that just goes to show it's a politics thing at the end of the day.
Yeah. Do you have a message for people? People or kids that are coming up right now, they don't have a profile, but they don't really score too much, or they don't have, the crazy scoring highlights, but they do the dirty work. They do the ancillary skill set, the impactful stuff. Do you have a message for people who, aren't ranked yet, but need to like lock in, keep going?
I say don't focus on it. Just keep doing what you're doing. Keep taking it one day at a time and continue to work to get better. Because that's the only thing that's what's going to push you over the top. All those people that's worried about scoring, all those people that's on those rankings, it don't mean nothing if they can't impact winning.
Exactly.
You know, and the plays that you make when you do those dirty plays, they impact winning. And that's what's going to, you know, push you over the top and get you to where you want to be. Because that's what it did for me. I mean, just look at my situation out. I wasn't ranked. I ain't had none of the profiles. I ain't have none of that. But because I did the dirty work, it got me here. And because they gave me the opportunity to be here, I'm gonna use it to the best of my abilities. And you know, and now I look at it, it's almost, you know, going towards the NBA. And the NBA doesn't look at all those politics. They look at, you know, who's gonna produce, who's gonna help winning. And that's what they look for. And that's something that I can do and that you can do too. So just stay solid, stay working, and continue to keep your head down and grind.
Yeah, I mean, even talking about like the 247 stuff, like even a couple months ago, when I first found your profile, like I'd be looking your name up and I'd be like, one tweet about you in the last 2 weeks. And I'm like, how is no one talking about this guy? Like, I was looking everywhere. I'm like, you have no profiles anywhere. Like, there's no recruiting stuff. I was like, dude, like, what is this? And I realized, like, man, for a second, I was wondering, I was like, am I looking at something wrong with this profile? Like, sir, is there like some bad stat that I'm missing? Is this guy like a 28-year-old freshman or something? Like, why is nobody talking about this? But I mean, your skill, your production, that stuff, like, it's gonna be like the big defining factor for you because you don't have, like you said, like all the political stuff, like the scoring highlights, all that. Like, you're just like a story of pure production and hard work. I think that's really, really inspiring.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, it ain't all about scoring at the end of the day. You got to do what it takes to win, and that's what it's gonna be. And hopefully NBA people see that. Hopefully they like it, because that's what I'm bringing.
Yeah, I mean it was our buddy Cam H and like nothing else, man. Like your name really wasn't out there, and it's just a shame because you put in the time and you have such an incredible skill set, man. Like I just you keep saying like I hope teams should be on you. It's you're right. It's a politics thing, man. Like it really is. And I mean you put the work in, and well, we're taking you seriously over here for sure. So.
Even little stuff. I look at Paul Biancardi. He posts the 12 freshmen of the week. He posts 12 players that he thought was the best freshman of the week and throughout all college basketball. Hadn't been on it once. And I was like, dang, I thought, you know, even me, I thought after the 30 point,
Yeah, that
13
should have
rebound,
been
I was like,
it.
dang, it could have been that one. I'm like, nah, I went and looked, searched it up and everything, you know. And those was the guys that control the rankings and stuff like that. So not and I another piece of advice is just not getting discouraged by it. Cause obviously it's easy to. Like I could have been like, okay, they're not gonna rank me, I'm not gonna work no more. But no, I just kind of allowing it to be their fuel to the fire.
Yeah, man. Well, with that long combo, really good combo. Again, I appreciate you so much, man. I'll have Alan's information in the description. Have all these wonderful interviewers as well down there. Shout out to Santa Clara. Shout out Alan one more time for this, man. Just an incredible opportunity. Can't say thank you enough. This has been episode 39 of the Double Bonus. Have a great rest of your night.